Yo, dudes and dudettes, this is WrestleWolf AEW Weekly. I'm your host, Damian Gibson. This is an AEW podcast made for fans by a fan. And still a fan, still here. I got pretty grumpy about shit in the last week and a half. Still feeling it. I'm not 100% back. But I will say this. Announcing Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. for WrestleDream got me back on board quite a bit. I'll tell you that for free. But look, there's more and more stuff being dropped via dirt sheets about CM Punk versus what has essentially become CM Punk versus the Young Bucks. Kenny Omega seems to have just sort of disappeared from this completely. Hangman Page isn't really involved, even though he's the guy who lit the fuse for all of this to kick off in the first place. I just want to, like, it's not going to become a thing where the first 10 minutes I talk about CM Punk of every episode, because he's not with AEW anymore. He will be with WWE in a couple of months' time. And it could be, you know, I don't want to be the harbinger of doom, because I don't want WWE to be the only gig in town. But if CM Punk goes to WWE and kills it, it could be the death knell for AEW. Really could. I see people saying, oh, well, you know, in a few months' time, they'll have Edge and they'll have Sasha Banks and that, or Mercedes Money, and they'll have Will Ospreay, and that'll make up for CM Punk. All I would say is you would hope so. If you're AEW, you'd fucking hope so, because I think the guys who made this decision, you know, whether it was Tony Khan, whether it was Mega from Legal, whether it was the Young Bucks, whether it was all of them together, I genuinely think they thought that they could, maybe not Tony so much because he's a legitimate wrestling fan, but I think the rest of them all thought, like, oh, well, we can just move on from Punk. He's just one wrestler. And that hasn't happened. In fact, the PR war, I would say, has been won in some part by Punk, at least on the internet wrestling communities that I hang out in, because people who love WWE are happy because they're most likely going to get CM Punk. People who are CM Punk fans aren't happy with the Bucks, right? So, like, the only people who are really happy with the Bucks are, like, diehard Elite fans. But judging by their YouTube numbers, that's been, like, I mean, that's taken a real hit. Since all this Punk stuff's happened, you're looking at, like, 500,000 views for a video. They're now down to 190,000. So people don't like the Young Bucks at the moment. And, you know, them, whatever blame is at Punk's feet for what's happened, and there is, you know, substantial blame for Punk, people aren't fucking idiots, and they understand that there's two sides to every story, and that the Young Bucks are, you know, doing little victory laps in Chicago and stuff, have really put people off them. And then the weird thing that, you know, I don't know whether they're getting punished by Tony or what the fuck is happening, but they're wrestling on Rampage, not even like the headliner slot or anything like that. I mean, we'll get to that in a second, but I suppose for AEW, all they can hope, like I said in the last episode, all they can do now is try and put on good shows and hope that, and just never mention it ever again. But they can't help themselves. You know, the Bucks have gone to Meltzer this week and have given this cockamamie story about, like, we would have met with him if he hadn't done anything disastrous for 6 months, you know. Even though there was already a meeting tabled 4 days before All In, and they bailed on that. So, like, if you're going to lie, get your own stories in check before you fucking run off to Meltzer to leak your stories. So, yeah, I I think for Hangman and the Young Bucks, it's going to be, but it's going to be difficult for them to get back into the main event picture, because they could put themselves in there, but most people are going to just not give a fuck. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. There isn't any other real AEW news. There's still rumors swirling around about, I mean, Money has, she must have signed, like, for her to be at All In, there's no way that she hasn't signed with AEW. And Edge, those rumors are still swirling around. Christian was asked about it at the All Out press conference, and he didn't give us much, but it was a pretty humorous response. He just said, I don't know who you're talking about, I don't have any friends. So I don't know, the rumors will not go away. And Will Ospreay's contracted to New Japan till at least January next year. So, but it seems like the people that I respect, and there's not many, but the people who are usually correct with these things keep talking about Ospreay to AEW next year. So, but not much movement before, besides that. Sonny Kiss was let go during the week, which is a bit of a shame. I feel like there was more talent to be utilized there, but didn't happen. And as I mentioned earlier, Ace Steel, who was a producer and a very good friend of CM Punk, was fired like 3 days after Punk was, which, not sure how legal that is either, but like, just, you know, firing someone because they're friends with someone else. But anyway, the shit show that is AEW backstage continues to roll on. I thought this week, and we'll see how this goes, rather than me sort of banging on about everything, and I thought we'd just go through the card for each show, quickly give a review, briefly talk about the story, and then and go from there. So then that way you guys have a quick sort of one-stop shop to get your results, reviews, and we'll go from there, and then maybe have a winner and loser, like the real winner and the real loser of the week, and then we'll close out from there. So we start with Dynamite. People talking about Dynamite being a good show this week, and I didn't hate it, but I don't actually really remember anything from it. And then when I was looking at my notes here, I was like, oh yeah. But to be fair, and I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying not to be, you know, an insane punk person who hates everything AEW does, because I really like Collision this week. So, but I genuinely didn't really remember much of Dynamite. I would just say this: there was a dark match for Dynamite where Johnny Mundo defeated Brandon Cutler in a singles match. So. Anyway, John Moxley defeated AR Fox. Moxley has now just like filled in for Orange Cassidy. He's now just doing this like I'll wrestle everybody thing. I suppose that like that in the end that story was good for Orange Cassidy, especially coming up against John Moxley. I don't think it works. Unless you're having open challenges where the one open challenge that I really enjoyed in AEW was Cody's, where he had Eddie Kingston come in, he had Ricky Starks come in, he had Warhorse come in. I think there are a couple of others off the top of my head. And they introduced new people to the show. Eddie Kingston got signed on the back of his match with Cody Rhodes. So, yeah. I just, you know, at the moment, John Moxley just going through the roster is just not interesting to me. At new rating system for me as well, I'm going to give this one, I'll give it 5.5 out of 10. Chris Statlander defeats Emi Sakura. Statlander has got a, well, we'll get to that on Collision, but she's got a Jade Cargill is back, so that's the new storyline for Statlander. Those guys are going to go back and forth. I don't mind that. I actually don't mind if you've got two people who go well head-to-head and they battle around a belt. That's a wrestling storyline. So I'm actually, as long as we don't get Jade Cargill being booked for another year and a half as the champion, then I'm interested. This match was fine. It didn't really go long enough for any real review. It went for 4 minutes and 27 seconds. So I'm going to give it 5 stars. Next up, we had a tag team match. Les Sex Gods, which is Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, defeated Aussie Open. This was a pretty good match for, went for about 12 minutes. This story is about Sammy versus Chris, which I actually thought was building pretty nicely until some moments on Rampage where they sort of talked about how they wanted to hit each other, but they're still friends. I don't know what that was about. I'll give this 6 out of 10, this match. Next up, we had Roderick Strong defeating Trent Barretta. This was in a Grand Slam Eliminator Tournament match. 11 minutes this one went for. Roderick Strong was always going to win because he's in a storyline with MJF, so it was kind of telegraphed. Some nice movements in here. I'll give a 5.5 out of 10. And then Darby Allin defeated Nick Wayne by referee's decision. This went for 15 minutes. A good match, good story. You've got AR Fox getting involved in Nick Wayne and Darby's stuff at the moment. I'm liking where this story's going. Darby Allin moves through in the Eliminator Tournament as well. So that's Roderick Strong and Darby Allin that have gone through. Next on Rampage, we had Jay Lethal versus Penta. This was a quarterfinal match for the Eliminator Tournament. Penta won that one. Britt Baker, Hikaru Shida and Sky Blue defeated Anna Jay, Taya Valkyrie and the Bunny. Sorry, I just couldn't read my own notes there for a second. In a 6-man tag match. What is going on with the women's division, man? It's just trios match after trios match after tag match after trios match. There are no fucking stories. Maybe they'll get to it, but I'm like, right now, the story should be Toni Storm versus Saraya. But it's sort of skirting around it. Like, she's just, Toni Storm just shows up and does a random promo, and they're good and they're fun and she's over. That's great. Okay, let's use it, right? Make Saraya a heel. Make Toni Storm this kind of insane baby face and make them feud with each other, right? What happened to Ruby Soho and the TBS title as well? This has completely disappeared. Like, she has one match and then she's gone. And then there's this sort of mega powers storyline going on with Hikaru Shida and Britt Baker. Like, how would they coexist? Well, who cares? Because there's no story. The only story is that they get put in these random matches and then they mistakenly keep fucking the other one over. You know, which doesn't, it just makes them look incompetent. It doesn't make it look like a story of any real substance is happening here. 5 out of 10. Young Bucks versus Angelo Parker and Matt Menard, whatever. And then we had Samoa Joe defeat Jeff Hardy in an 8-minute match. Samoa Joe is, I think, the person who benefited the most from the Punk era that lasted 2 months on Collision was Samoa Joe. Kind of, his whole shtick has been rehabbed in the last couple of months, and he legitimately comes across as a, well, to use the same word twice, legitimate threat for MGF. Why can't I say MJF properly? So even if he does end up losing to MJF, which he will, he definitely feels like a main event player again. He's not like some Ring of Honor mid-carder, which he was always way too good for that. Still way too many fucking belts. I'll give this 6 out of 10 for the match. And then collision, we had John Moxley beat Action Andretti. God, sorry, guys. I really like this match, 7 out of 10. As much as I'm not enamored with John Moxley's sort of run at the moment, I just think this match had some interesting things going for it. Styles make matches and all that sort of thing, and I think that's what was happening here. Chris Statlander defeated Robin Renegade for a TBS title match just randomly. I know the Renegade sisters have been doing stuff in Ring of Honor, but if you don't watch Ring of Honor, you don't know that. So there's just a random woman in the ring who's getting a title shot. Just don't make it a title match. Just make it a match. Like, champions can have, you know, I know she's the babyface, but she doesn't have to have a championship match. Anyway, she defeated Renegade, and then Jade Cargill came down and they're feuding. Cargill looked great. We had a six-man tag match, which is a shame because this was going to be a four-way. But Jay White had to pull out of the show for personal health reasons. Bullet Club Gold, Austin Gunn, Colton Gunn, and Juice Robinson defeated Aerostar, Dios del Infierno, and Gravity. This match wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I was actually really looking forward to this. I'd still give it 6 out of 10. But just sort of nothing. I suppose with Jay White there, they couldn't really further the story or push Jay White further. So it just is what it is. But and then the next little bit of the match, got really good. We had Rey Fénix defeating Angelico. I actually thought this match was quite good. I'd give it a 6 out of 10. I would like to see more of Angelico. Rey Fénix has sort of got a... the Lucha Bros have sort of been in and out of the Blackpool Combat Club's business over the last sort of 6-8 weeks. So Rey Fénix is going after Moxley for the international title, and that was sort of set up at the end here. Then we got... Bryan Danielson came out and cut a promo, basically said he was going to wrestle Zack Sabre Jr. at WrestleDream, and then had a confrontation with Ricky Starks. So that story is being continued, because I thought, that's a bit harsh on Ricky Starks that he's just like been left to the wayside because Punk's not there anymore. He's still there and being utilized, so that's great. And then the last two matches I thought were fantastic. Roderick Strong versus Darby Allin was a great match, giving that 8 out of 10. I thought all the storytelling here was great. Darby Allin getting the shit kicked out of him by Christian and Luchasaurus on the way to the ring, continuing that TBS story, TBS title story, was really good. AR Fox coming down to the ring and getting in Nick Wayne's face and sort of getting in the way of Darby winning, all of that stuff. And then you also had Roderick Strong in the middle of this with all of his MJF stuff. I actually thought this was really good LinkedIn storytelling. There's all these different things happening in the company, and they all got linked in into the one story. I thought it was really good, and the match itself was great as well. So fantastic stuff there. And then Samoa Joe defeated Penta, in which was a fantastic match. These were the two semi-finals for the Eliminator. So now we've got Roderick Strong versus Samoa Joe in the final, which was always going to be the case. But look, you know what? I don't mind. I saw a lot of bitching about the tournament. Oh, another fucking tournament. I like tournaments. I think tournaments are a really good way of telling a story. AEW does them quite well, I think. And the thing about this now, and I suppose one of the few silver linings to CM Punk not being on Collision, is that you can do what you did this week, where you have all the quarterfinals on Dynamite and Rampage, the semifinals on Collision, and then you'll have the final on Dynamite this week. And so the story gets extrapolated out in a week and a half. So even if you are like, oh, tournament, whatever, it's all over like that. And I think at times with certain storylines with AEW, they maybe take the idea of long-term storytelling to extremes. Like you need to have, it's an episodic TV show, so you need to have ebbs and flows. You need to have cliffhangers and reasons for people to tune in next week, and tournaments naturally do that. So, but doing them quickly and in such a in the way that it's been done this week and a half, I think is really cool. So, yeah, 7 out of 10 for Joe versus Penta. So they're the results for this week. I don't know if the results really belie how enjoyable the vast, you know, I would give Collision like an 8 out of 10 this week. Dynamite maybe a 6 and Rampage a 5. I thought everything was, I thought it was a pretty solid week considering how pissed off a lot of people were about CM Punk, considering the almost civil war that's going on between AEW fans online at the moment. And the fact that Collision had lost its talisman, you know, like what was it going to be like? Was it still going to be the same? It seems very much that Bryan Danielson is, you know, had a lot of say into what was happening at Collision as well as CM Punk. So that still seems to be the case, which is great. So yeah, I'm looking for, you know, we're moving towards Grand Slam at Arthur Ashe in a couple of weeks' time, and that's going to be a big show. I would expect to see if there are going to be any debuts, if we're looking at Mercedes Money or an Edge, I would expect them to show up at that show. But I actually think the storytelling at the moment in AEW is pretty good. I think the Darby Allin and Christian story is good. I think the AR Fox, Nick Wayne, Darby Allin story is good. I think the Roddy Strong, MJF, Adam Cole story is fantastic. You've got some good stories here. Statlander and Jay Cargill kicking things off for the TBS title. I just think the women's title is where we're falling down. FTR are doing an open challenge. John Moxley's doing an open challenge. You need to get stories happening around those belts. The belts are the centerpiece. They're the MacGuffins of the stories. And just, I think you could probably only afford to have one belt out of the 6 or 7 that you've got have an open challenge. I don't mind FTR doing it and having different, you know, you get money, Motor City Machine Guns to come in from Impact. You get whoever from GCW, like whoever it may be, to come in and wrestle them and just, you know, kill some time until you want to get the Bucks happening again or whatever. But yeah, there's like the women's title, there's just no story happening there at all. The tag team titles, open challenge, okay. John Moxley, open challenge, okay. But the TNT title, the TBS title, and the men's championship, there are legitimate stories around those three. So they just need to start doing the same thing with the other titles. You're going to have 6 or 7 really good stories there that people are going to want to tune in each week to watch. You know, and as much as CM Punk not being on Collision is a shame and is a huge hole, I think if they can keep just a modicum of difference between the two shows, which seemed to happen this week, it could actually work in AEW's favor to have more of an open door between the two shows. As long as it doesn't just, you know, you've got Jon Moxley essentially wrestling on every fucking show during the week. Like, if Moxley is one of your stars, if he is the ace of AEW, which in my mind he's not, but if he is, then don't book him on every show. You know, you book him on one show a week at least. You know what I mean? have him on Dynamite 1 week and then Collision the week after, and then Dynamite 1 week, Collision the week after. Maybe he takes a week off, for fuck's sake, and gives himself a break and all of us a break so we can miss him. You know, one of the best things about MJF the whole time that he's been on AEW is that he will go away for a week or so, you know, and then when he shows back up, it's a big deal. It feels like a big deal when he's on TV. It does not feel like it's a big deal when Jon Moxley's on TV, because he's always on fucking TV. Always. but yeah, really interesting time for AEW. I think the shows are solid. It's still a fucking shame that the Bucks are leaking shit to Dave Meltzer about CM Punk, because it just makes the organization look unprofessional. I think if Tony's got some aces up his sleeve as far as signings are concerned, it's time to play them in the next couple of weeks. Because I think it's become genuinely the feeling I get from wrestling fans is that people are just expecting the company to roll over and die in the next 6 to 12 months. That's what it feels like. You know, you're getting crowds of 2,000 to 3,000 to show up. You're booking arenas that are 10,000, 15,000. You can only sell 2,000 to 3,000 tickets. You know, up until this week, storylines were confusing. Everybody hates each other backstage. Boy, you know, like there's jobs for the boys. I hate to say it, but it is really reminiscent of WCW. And, you know, you look across the street at WWE, and I've actually been watching a bit of their product this week. The one thing you can say about them is that they're slick and professional, and there's a storyline for everything. And this idea that, like, wrestling doesn't have to have stories. Listen, you aren't making a wrestling show anymore. This isn't a fucking indie show where people are or even a Japanese wrestling show where people are just showing up to see people wrestle. There are elements of that. There's elements of audience who will show up for that. Like, I am a person who's like, oh, Daniel Bryan versus Zack Sabre Jr. You don't need to give me any storyline for that. I just want to see them wrestle. But the vast majority of people, they don't want that. And you can be like, oh, well, it's an audience that's been brought up on WWE storytelling and blah, 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 blah. It's not that. It's an audience that's been brought up on episodic storytelling. People watch TV. You're on TV. You need to tell a story that fits in with that medium. You know, like, I love AEW and the wrestlers are amazing, but it's not entertaining enough for most people to just watch matches that don't mean anything. And it's getting, like, there is, like I say, 50% of the belts have stories around them, the other 50% don't. If you get all of those belts with major stories happening around them, I don't think there's too much that you can complain about with AEW. And for them to get out of this malaise that they're in at the moment, it's the only way to do that. And you can still be a point of difference. You don't have to be WWE to be telling stories and all that sort of thing. It doesn't have to be over-the-top sports entertainment type stuff. You don't have to do that, but you do have to tell stories. And having stories like Chris Jericho versus Sammy Guevara, setting the blow-off match for that, but then in the same segment talk about how much they like each other, it's just lazy. It's just lazy bullshit storytelling. And for someone like Chris Jericho, who's one of the maybe... definitely in the top five storytellers in wrestling history, to be either coming up with that idea or ticking off on the idea, I don't know, it just comes across as someone who's maybe not as interested as he should be. Anyway, I will leave that there. Hopefully, I hope you like the new format. Yeah, I'll try and maybe be a little bit more expansive next week. But I just thought maybe having the results, going through the results, and then sort of talking about bits and pieces afterwards might be a decent little way of going about things seems to be the format that most people do. So I thought, well, why not? I'll do the same thing and put my bent on it. If you like it and think that other people might like it, let other people know. Rate and review. Share us on social media, or share the podcast on social media. And in the meantime, enjoy your wrestling, and I'll be back next week with another episode of AEW Weekly.